We're hosting a special guest today, this morning, in our studio. So we welcome Dino Greer from States. Good morning.
Good morning.
You are on a special journey through the planet.
Yes, I am.
So how far did you get in so far?
I would say I'm about halfway. That being from serving in Iraq in 2003, the Middle East, Babylon, Mesopotamia, taking me to the States for a few years there, and then just around the world in different spiritual centers, vortexes, and just to meet people that are going through similar battles with trying to understand the new consciousness that this world is trying to reach.
You said new consciousness. Do you remember which was the turning point that you figured that maybe beyond our physical appearance in something more? Was it war?
It was
close
war.
Close to death? Or?
It was war, but a little bit before war. I would say a little bit before 9/11 happened in New York City in the States. I know for many people that's a key turning point. But for me, watching a lot of news with my father at the time, who taught world civilizations and world history, we used to have discussions about terrorism all over the world and people uprising, trying to get information, fighting for their rights. So as a young individual, I started seeing this thing basically bubbling up, coming from maybe 88 to 89, my dad worked for the UN, and I was in Liberia, and a civil war broke out. And for me, that time, I started having certain visions and wanting to understand what was going on with me. Well, I saw people suffering. I saw what capitalism really meant. I saw poverty. And coming from where I was coming from, I wanted to understand how this whole system was working. Not the system I was in, but this world of mine. And in doing so, I saw there was many books in my research. Many people were writing. There was many magazine articles, covers of magazines. So in my search, there was a lot of people trying to get the information out to raise awareness. And I would say that was 1988.
Mm. For those actually who may not encounter with you yet, or those who don't know you, we have to say that actually you were born in States, by the origin you're African. So was your father, and as far as we were talking about, he was really looking for the history which is true history, not the history written by colonizers, right?
That's correct. My father
was influential in that in States, right?
Yes, correct.
So what did you gain? I'm pretty sure that you learned a lot from him about the real history, or let's say, at least from our perspective, with the time lapse, the history which is written right now in the scholar books in Western Europe and in States, it's not correct, right?
That's true, for the history not being correct. Mankind has been able to manipulate truths based on winners of wars. My father gave me insight to this at a very young age. He was studying for his PhD at a very young age at the University of Texas. I remember being with my father while he was doing research. He carried me as far as he could to different museums. When he was with me, we talked. And he was a young individual in his 30s. And I would ask him, why, Daddy? Why all of this? And he said, it's for me to spread truth. But before I can spread truth, I must learn as much as I can. And he let me know that I was from Africa, though I was born in the States, not just by telling me, but showing me through the music that he played every day and the way he carried himself with certain values. He believed in traditions, but he also said that traditions can limit you, so you must grow. In doing so, he knew where he was from. The country, Liberia, dealt with a colonization of sorts. It was a place where free slaves in the United States went back to. So it was created by the United States. But people were already there. And the people that were already there came from various parts of Africa, mostly Sudan, Mali, Senegal. And he traced his roots to, you know, the great nation of Sudan, which is Egypt to many Africans.
So you're trying to say that in actually your father is also coming from another tribe?
I would say that my father knew his tribe. He is of Crown. Those are the individuals of Western Africa. My grandparents on his side came from Ivory Coast, which is Côte d'Ivoire, and they crossed over during wartime into Liberia some time ago, and that is just the country of his birth. My father explained to me that where you're born is not truly where you're from, that we all have roots from some place deep in Africa. And that place is not a jungle. That place is a lovely, lavish kingdom of various vibrations. I say that because when certain people look at it, they see the manifestation of a kingdom, with it being a desert, with it being near the river, but time changes. Time changes, Mother Nature changes. So if you see a desert now, just know that was a lush land, fertile land, ages ago. And those were people of temples, people with dreams and reality, innovation.
They were magnificent civilizations.
Correct. And he stated that though I was born in Liberia, him being who he was, that he wasn't from there, and that many people in Africa didn't know where they had originally come from due to following animals or weather patterns. But the true individuals, which were the scholars of that time from way back when, knew that they came from Africa, and it was a spiritual kingdom of various vibrations and energies. So the Africa that we know today is not the Africa of the start of a new dawn of humanity, you know.
There's another thing which kind of disturbed me the whole my life. What is the meaning? What is the purpose of war? You seen the war outbursting in Liberia, you went to Iraq. Did you maybe find an answer why, what is the purpose of war?
The purpose of war, to me, is influence and power. You know, it's an individual's mindset that has been able to spread to others, which contaminates them. It takes away from the true harmony of what humanity is supposed to share, which is love. And once an individual realizes that love can be manipulated, then they're able to, you know, infest and breed other ideas, you know. A single idea is one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful thing that we have as humans, as we are thinking beings. So that one thought of you being superior to someone else can spread. And if the majority or the minority decide that they're going to use their thoughts for manipulation, for evil, to gain something from another, then they're going to utilize that. And the more people that believe in that thought process, it spreads and spreads and spreads. And as others, you know, let me see, rise up or challenge those belief systems, you have to do something to remain in that position of power, in that position of influence, and you have to annihilate, crush, or, you know, suppress. And the ultimate suppression of information, of ideas, is war. Hmm. It is war.
Have you maybe figured out where that urge in, let's say, but it, I think it does come in most of the humans, to have a control, to have a power mm-hmm. above somebody else. Where does that come from?
Well, as we evolve, the human brain has ideas constantly shooting out, constantly. And as we are star seeds, if you look at galaxies, you know, spreading, they conquer other galaxies. They merge with other galaxies. Stars, you know, exploding, spreading particles out. Those particles bond with other particles, and those particles that have joined work together, or they explode again. Okay? So, I'm stating that as star seeds, as particles, as pieces of matter, you know, if we decide to stick together, we grow. We grow. You can grow in a positive manner, or you can grow in a negative manner, such as, let's say, cancer, you know. That's a growth that can be, you know, negative.
Because it's aggressive, no?
It is. It is aggressive. It is aggressive. And as you can see, even within ourselves, there's aggressive behavior. And if we are, you know, of this realm, this reality of ours, that aggression is there. It's there. You know, we were created by aggression. If we look at the beautiful chaos, which is our multiverse, it's aggression. You know, stars exploding, but in that exploding is colors. It's vibrant. It's beautiful, but yet it's chaotic. And you got to be able to look at that chaos, such as, you know, me being here in India, the traffic that we're in. You know, you have motorcycles, you have people on bikes, you have speeding vehicles, you have people walking, pedestrians, people in a rush to get to some place that maybe matters to them or maybe doesn't matter in the whole. Hmm. So it's a constant fight for what time really is, you know, and back to the war, people believe that their ideas are more superior than others because they're in a rush to accomplish certain goals that will benefit their inner being. And sometime in humanity, we got separated from us joining together to be positive instead of us being joined together and not vibrating on the negativity.
Do we stand a chance to have a human unity in diversity, so to speak?
Yeah. I mean, unity is there. You know, unity is there. The same way stars can be in a galaxy together and make it beautiful is the same way that some of the stars outgrow other stars, and other stars have to die and give way. So the unity is there. It's just really how we want to see it. You know, just because you're a bigger star doesn't mean that you have to use your size, because the smaller star is also can be brighter, you know?
It can also shine, right?
And also shine. So it's how you want to look at size. It's how you want to look at each other. And so we can all be together. But just because we're here together, that's not the true idea of unity, I feel. I feel unity is being able to still join together and see your weakness and see a strength at the same time, and us working together to balance each other out, because you have stars that are sitting there together that aren't working together.
The same as maybe in a relationship, that you complement each other with whatever downfalls, or let's say you're not good at, and the partner that support you in that, and vice versa. Yeah.
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct.
Let's shift to something I think, believe is for you really painful, war in Iraq, yeah?
Yeah.
Because I know you are also activist, how to deal with the post-traumatic syndrome of veterans of war. So in this process, I believe you found out things, maybe how to deal with, is it forgiveness or is it, what does it make you to go through that pain? How you can release the pain of something which in certain point, I'm sure to all of us, does look completely ridiculous, doesn't make sense, the killing and suffering.
When I was first introduced to war was in 89 to 90 in Liberia. It was so chaotic with my dad being a liaison to the first indigenous president of Liberia. And when the rebels were taking over and the coup was happening, and my dad said, you know what, you have to fight for what you believe in. But sometimes fighting is not being aggressive. Sometimes fighting is just being able to close your eyes and go into deep thought about what you can do to better the situation. And in bettering the situation, you have to better yourself, you know? So you have to gain as much knowledge of yourself as possible. And then you finding out that you're connected to everyone, that your belief system can be shared, you know? And prophets, religions have really tried to, you know, spread that through prayer, through meditation, through, you know, living a certain way. So when you have a way of life of people trying to live a certain way, and then on the other spectrum, you know, the chaos, you know, the yin-yang, you have another set of people who don't believe in your values. So you must understand what they believe in and why they believe in that. In doing that, you can find a certain type of peace because you know what they believe in, you know why. So instead of being aggressive because they think unlike you, you tend to not accept, but you tend to acknowledge that there's a misunderstanding there. And then you want to become that bridge. You must want to become that bridge to see, okay, you believe in this and understand like this. I believe and understand like this. Why? Because humans, we all think differently, but we have these constant thoughts. We have emotions, right? This plays into your environment. It also plays into the atmosphere of what the world is going into, which is, you know, volcanic eruptions. It's the solar, you know, the stars, the weather, you know. This adds to the mental pull, the mental shift. So you must take all that into accountability. And this is certain things that as a young kid, you know, you don't learn in school. You learn little pieces, but you must want to find this on your own. And then you must find within yourself how all these things correlate. And once you find that even you trying to find within yourself is a war, then you must come to peace with yourself. And in doing that, you accept that you're in war. And you must find the beauty with you being in war. And that's what I found. So a lot of people are running from war. I accepted that I must love war, because within my accepting of my love for war, then I can try to spread healing.
Okay, that's my one way.
Yeah.
I'm a mother, you know, so I remember when was the war outburst in my country, and then it stays for 8 years in Bosnia with all the horrors. Actually, we all had an idea. As a mother, each soldier has a mother, mm-hmm. and I'm a mother. So when it comes from the female perspective, it doesn't make sense. I don't see any purpose
mm-hmm.
if you cannot work it out on some kind of other level. But appearance, as you said, the galaxy, sometimes you have to, also the seed has to die in order to give a plant, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the time is running short. I have one more question for you. How did you find out about Oroville, and have you found something maybe here, or what is your insight after kind of short time, but still, I believe that you have insight what Oroville stands for, what we are trying to do here.
Found Oroville because for the past 10 years I've been searching for additional healing. I've been meditating and praying that I mean to other people that want to, you know, heal not only themselves, but people around them and also the world. So I've been traveling for the past 10 years after finding myself in Iraq, finding that war was not the answer that I needed in picking up a weapon and fighting for a government. I needed to spread my art. In Iraq, I started writing and writing and writing and writing, and realized that I need to travel to expand my mind to continue writing. So I found Oroville from Facebook due to different things that I've researched and liked and different topics. And one day I was in Sri Lanka looking for the next place I would travel to while touring Asia, from being 2 months in Thailand, finishing my 1 month stay in Sri Lanka, studying some Buddhism. I wanted to come to India, and somehow, some way, Oroville popped up. It was just a little video of something that might be interesting in my slide on Facebook. It wasn't even done by someone in Oroville. It was done by someone who liked avocados here in Oroville. Yeah, that was it. And I watched the video and the values of Oroville when they talked about utopia, that it wasn't talk anymore, that it was actually happening and been happening, and they needed people to come and enhance it, come and experience Oroville. And that's how I'm here. That's why I'm here, experiencing Oroville. And I found what I've been looking for. I found that there's a place that needs my help, that needs my experiences, that needs everything that I have gone through in life, good, bad, ugly, beautiful, and I can be here to spread it, to share it, and also welcome others that are looking to
live different life and, as I said, aspire to higher life, right?
Yeah, that's it. Perfectly said. Thank you for finishing it off for me. That's it.
Dino, thank you very much. See you the next time.
Truly.